Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for everything that you've done. And Lord God, as we sing these songs back to back, Lord, we long for your presence in our life. We desire the blessings that you bestow upon each one of us. But Lord God, it has to start from the song "Before I Surrender." And Lord God, what an awkward song that is for us to sing, "I Surrender," because it's so hard to do. And our flesh wars against us in terms of surrender. But Lord God, when we come to you in earnesty and get before you and we truly surrender, that opens the door and allows you to come into our lives and begin to work within us. And that's the true blessing, Lord God, you involved in each one of our lives. So Father, thank you that you're involved in each one of our lives to the extent that you sent your Son to make a way where there was no way, to bring life where there was only death. So Father, thank you for everything that you put into effect the moment the fall occurred. And Jesus, thank you for being our Lord and being our Savior. Surrendering to you changes our lives in ways that no one can fathom until they experience it themselves. So this morning, we just rejoice in who you are. We lift up the holy name of Jesus Christ. We call upon that name for those that are walking through hard times, those that are sick, those that are injured, even those that are traveling, Lord God, be with them as they're on the roads today and keep them safe. We come to you with all of these different things because we can. Help us to live a life of surrender. Lord, I hate it when I dig my heels in. It doesn't hurt you, it only hurts me. So today, with a fresh revelation and a fresh desire, God, I just say, I surrender. You're in that same boat. Just call out to him and just tell him, I surrender. Which opens the door to his deeper involvement within each one of our lives. So Jesus, be glorified on this morning. Lord God, be in the churches that are around the world that are meeting today. And we love you, Jesus. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can be seated. All right. How's everybody doing? Good? I saw quickly on the news today that groundhog saw his shadow. Does that even make any difference in Montana? I don't think it does. Because the way I look at it, if what we have had was winter, then I'll take 6 more weeks of what we've had. But now all of a sudden the groundhog sees a shadow and we're supposed to get like a foot of snow. Go figure. Right? Who knows? Kids, where's all our kids? Will you guys be extra loud when you run out today? Yay for our kids. Well, we had a baby dedication planned for this morning, but they had to travel and it's not worth risking it on the roads. So depending on the weather, we'll probably do that next week. That's always fun to have baby dedications and all that. So I had that planned into the message time-wise. So we might be quicker today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. But we still have some announcements. We have lots of ladies' announcements today. So ladies, tune in. There's the ladies' luncheon That is February 10th, Monday, February 10th. It's always the second Monday, I believe, of the month. It's in your bulletin. Plan on going to that. Ingrid is going to be the speaker, right? So everybody wants to hear Ingrid talk. So, well, all the ladies, we'll say, because guys, we can't go, even though we like the all-you-can-eat buffet and all that there at Pizza Ranch and all that. But make a plan to go to that. Again, it's in your bulletin, times, places, and all that. And then there's a new women's Bible study that's starting up on Tuesday the 11th, and it is... I guess you say curriculum. It's a book. It's a study. It's a study by Joanna Weaver, and she's actually a pastor within the state of Montana. She's in one of our Assemblies of God churches. She writes lots of books. She does lots of studies. So that will be starting up, so it's kind of cool to have a Montana lady teaching and doing that, and I believe that the videos and all that you watch were filmed in Glacier. So everybody else around the country are like, oh, I just so wish I could go to Montana sometime. It looks so beautiful. And here we are, we live in Montana. So come to that. If you've never come to a women's Bible study, I would encourage you to do that. And then there are several women's conferences coming up, and those are, again, in your bulletin. There's different signups. There's information on the table back there for different things. I think there's one in Billings. There's one in Glacier at the Glacier Bible Camp and different things. So make sure, ladies, that you look into that and pick one and hopefully come to the luncheon and come to the Bible studies and go to the conferences and all those things. Us men, we can somewhat fend for ourselves. We can order a pizza or something while you guys are gone. It's all good. And then on February 15th, that is a Saturday, there is the Sidewalk Advocates for Life training. So if you've ever wanted to be trained in when you go and pray around Planned Parenthood, kind of it goes into expectations and even the rules to follow, how to speak to people, how to deal with people when they're angry and all of those things. Really, they want you, if you're going to engage people, they want you to have gone through this training, and it keeps everybody safe, and it just gives a guideline. That is going to be February 15th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the office complex. So hopefully y'all know that on the corner right over there, there's a house-looking structure. That's our office complex. That will be in there. Now, if you come later than that, I'll warn you, if you come into the church, you're gonna be in a wedding. So that we'll have a wedding and a reception going on over here that day. Sidewalk Advocates over there. Lots of stuff going on. And then the next day, February 16th, Sunday, is our annual business meeting, and that's gonna be directly right after the service. We won't do a potluck since we do our last Sunday's potlucks, but we'll do service. We're a lovey church, right? We're a talky church. So everybody likes to talk after service, and we won't write any of that, but we want to get to the business meeting as soon as we can to get that started and rock and roll through all of that. Lots of good things happening in this church, and the business meeting is a time to look at how God has blessed us this last year, this prior year, and God has done all sorts of good things. Giving, we always give you guys several ways to give. You can hit up our app. If you don't have our church app, it's a great thing to have on your phone. It has the calendar. It has stuff coming up. It has the bulletin. It has the ability to just give really easily. You can get to the messages. If you've missed any messages, you can get to that. But giving in that way is a quick and easy thing. You can text it. Text the amount to 84321. You can use our giving boxes, which are located in the back of the sanctuary and then out in the lobby. There's envelopes on top of that if you want to designate your offering and keep track of that. And of course, you can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue, Helena, Montana, all those good things. Giving's awesome, isn't it? I bet, how many people in here have a giving testimony? I'm not gonna make anybody share, but my goodness, if you're a faithful giver, you get this amazing testimony of what God does in our life. And it's not a money testimony, is it? It's an obedience testimony. It's how God worked in your life kind of testimony. And we're not the kind of church that says, hey, we just need a little bit of seed money. Just give us that $500 and then you're gonna, we don't do that, because giving is an intimate relationship of worship between you and God. It's an amazing thing where we say, God, I surrender all aspects of my life, including my finances. That's a big one, right? And through that surrender, God then says, oh man, I love that. And he begins to do things in our life. So thank you guys for giving. Share those testimonies of what God is doing in your life. And don't make it about money. Just talk about what God is doing in your life. All right. So let's, yes, no baby today. I keep checking. We're good. We'll just put that off. Let's pray. We'll get going on this message. Father, like I pray every Sunday, man, it is so nice to be in your house this morning. It is so good. Despite what is going on in this world, Lord God, we've seen some major tragedies this last week with the airplane crash in Washington, D.C., and then other air crashes, and we see different things happening, and maybe we wonder what is going on. But Lord God, I'm here today to stand in your word and proclaim that you are always on your throne. And even though we live in this sinful world, Lord God, we have an ability to come to you in such a way where everything drastically changes in our lives, but also how we perceive and act upon things. And Lord God, help us today to continue in that, to facilitate our relationship with you in really a powerful way. Holy Spirit, help me to step aside from myself. Lord God, let me not get polluted into this message, but Lord God, allow me to say what you have desired for me to say. Let me represent your word in an appropriate manner. And give it, man, if you need to interject, Lord God, I surrender. I'm open to all of those things. Father God, I pray this all the time. I pray for each person in here this morning. I pray for their hearts to be open. I pray that they can accept those things that you are speaking to them, Lord God, that they can get rid of excess baggage if they have it, that they can just lay it down. And when we come to the point of the service where we do communion, Lord God, that we can truly take that in a worthy manner. In so doing, Lord God, I pray that nobody leaves here today the same way that they entered, the same way that they came in, because, Lord, you are a God of change. You are powerful. You see us. You understand us. Man, we're a mess, but you're perfect. So draw us to your perfection, and that is through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we uphold above every other name in this world. So we pray this in that very name. Our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Boy, that was a quiet amen. That was who said that? That was awesome. Good for you. We like loud. I need loud. This last surgery thing, man, it's got me in a whole weird place. I need lots of interaction to keep my brain rolling, right? I've got to keep... good when the pastor's brain is rolling and not just his mouth. That's where danger happens. So today we're throw up that first slide. Why me? That's an interesting title for today. And just an honest show of hands here this morning. How many of you have ever asked the question, why me? I mean, come on, everybody should probably be holding their hand up. And when so doing, when asking that question, what is usually the context of that question? I would have to say, more than likely, if you are at the point of asking such a question like, why me, it's It's probably because things aren't really going your way, or they're not going the way that you think that they should be going. Why me? Maybe we say, God, why me? Maybe we just stand there and we look at all these different situations and we see some people having success and we feel like we're over here and we're not, and we just say, why me? And at times, this can be a legitimate question, while at other times, it can be a bit of a woe is me type of statement. You know, we're not even asking the question, we're just saying, why me? Why me? Eeyore. Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Man, I always felt bad for Eeyore. Partly because his tail. You know, he would always lose his tail, and it's like his tail is nailed on him. And it's like, oh yeah, these are stuffed animals. Not really a real donkey, but he would always walk around and he would have that attitude of why me? It's always a storm. It's always something coming against me. So at times we can fall into that. And unfortunately, any of us can get caught up here. And if not careful, we can get stuck into this depressive mood, which begins to cloud our eyesight as we focus in on all the things that are going wrong. Why me? Now, for today, we could look at all the trials and tribulations of this life, those things that we will inevitably have to walk through, because we're going to have to walk through lots of those type of things. And we could also go into these different ways we can combat this type of thinking and steps that will help us move on from this type of thinking. But that's not where we're going today. This morning, we're going to pose this question as possibly a much more difficult as well as uplifting question. And before I get started, I need to preface that I don't have the answers today. We're going down a road where it's like, well, Pastor, you're supposed to know these things. You're supposed to know the theology behind them. You're supposed to know the doctrine, the biblical understanding. I don't know. I'm just going to be right up front with you guys. What we are going to talk about today, I don't have the answers. Though we will always seek to have sound theology in this church and for this morning. In many ways, this topic remains a mystery. One of those mysteries of God, who we know is infinitely beyond our understanding. That's part of surrender, right? When we don't surrender, we try to pull God down to our own understanding. We got to be able to intellectually define everything that our faith entails, right? No, we don't, because God is infinitely beyond us in his wisdom as well as his will. But I also believe asking certain questions, those that will not always get an answer, that's beneficial to us, because they will always reveal something deeper to us about God. If we're just in it for the answer, we might miss a whole lot of things. But if we're in it for the experience that we're going to have with God through the process of asking this question, sometimes these just amazing things happen. And I say all this because the intent for today is not to leave here with a strict analytical answer, but rather a deeper understanding as to how much the Father actually loves each one of us. And this whole why me question, it all started as I was reading through the Gospels, and I would come to passages like this found in John 10. This is 27 through 29. It says, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never, ever by any means perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Amen. Yes. We should all be saying amen. See, this is just a great verse to help us understand that Jesus, the shepherd's, it's his relationship with his sheep. And his sheep are those who follow and have a relationship with him. And in this passage, you start at John 10 and you go all the way through this passage, and it paints a beautiful picture of his care and his protection for us now as well as for eternity. So we have the present perspective and we have the eternal perspective, and Jesus here is talking about all those different things. He's like, you're my sheep now, but you will be my sheep forever. And I care for the sheep, and nothing, no thief, no wild animal, no nothing can come and snatch you out of my hand if you're truly in my hand. So we have this beautiful visualization of what's going on here. But then Jesus says something that's quite interesting. He says that the sheep have been given to him by his Father. Now, when we balance this passage with passages out of, say, Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we also have this passage out of Romans. Go ahead and flip that. Romans 10:10-13, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not perish, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And of course, we cannot look over what Paul is telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we can do all sorts of twists and turns in trying to make all this make sense in a theologic perspective, and so many people have. There's different doctrinal beliefs that arise out of what we're really talking about. But for me, the essence here is, and I guess my deep theological question is this: why me? Seriously, why me? Why do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know what? Scratch that. That sounds way too Christian-y for this morning. Let's try this. Why has the Father revealed Christ to me in such a way, and why have I chosen to respond in such a way that makes Jesus more real than anything else in my life? This is asking the why me question with all excitement, with all humility, and all awe. Seriously, in a world where so many deny Christ, who are enslaved to this world, who have become content within their sin, Jesus, why me? You guys ever asked that question? Have you ever wondered that? Why have I chosen to be a born-again follower of Christ, and in so doing, position myself to experience all the love, mercy, and grace that he extends not only to me, but to all mankind? Why me? Why me with the multitude of people out there? Why do I have the relationship with Jesus that I do. See, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that is beyond my comprehension. And now we come to verses like John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, leaving him the desire to come to me. And I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. So the Father draws us, and that is the way that we come to Jesus. But clearly, not all come to Jesus. So obviously, we have a choice here. A choice to become one of his sheep that the Father gives to his Son. From 2 Peter 3:9, we know what God's heart is. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So why me? Why has his patience allowed me to come, that I may receive his glory within my life? Sometimes I wonder, did I just open a big can of worms here this morning? But the reality is that worms, they catch fish. And we are to be fishers of men. So we need to look at things like this, and we need to say, okay, on the bigger picture, instead of just answering, why me, demanding that question, what's the bigger answer to this? What can we learn here? And after pondering this for quite possibly way too long, because I have a lot of time on my hand. Some of you got that. And it's probably because I really like answers, right? When I get into Scripture, and when I study Scripture, and through prayer and asking, hey, Holy Spirit, illuminate this to me, help me to understand it, I really like to come to that point where there's an answer. But I've just had to get to this place where I can accept this beautiful mystery of God, though I probably will never understand it. Haven't we all prayed for people and they've never come to Jesus? And yet we've not prayed for people and they've come to Jesus, right? And within our minds, we're like, oh gosh, God, that person really needs Jesus. That person's just kind of a jerk. I don't want to address them. And we try to rationalize, and we try to figure out, why do some come to Jesus and some don't come to Jesus? It's this mystery. Because we know that it's the Father who calls him. Well, shouldn't the Father call every single person? Because his desire is that none shall perish, that none shall be lost. And there's this dichotomy that seems to be going on there. And if I try to think this through too much, it messes me up. So there's things within our faith where we just have to say, God, this is beyond my understanding. This is one of your beautiful mysteries. But that is in no way a cop-out within my faith. Because it is here that I can come to a greater appreciation of the enormity of God's love. You see, God knows me. He knows me better than any of you know me. He knows everything that I've ever done, every thought that I have ever had. And yet, still the Father loves me to the extent that he called me, messed up, broken me, sinful me, to the Son who gave his very life for me in order that I could have a restored and redeemed relationship with my Creator. Why me? Because it is in God's nature to love me to that extent. It's in God's nature to love you to that extent. It's in God's nature to love everybody to that extent. Now listen closely here. Beyond the theologic mystery and debate here, how can God's love made known to me by him not dramatically and radically change my life? See, if I'm asking the question, why me, I have to follow that up with, I may not have the full understanding of why me, but how can I ever be the same? Questions lead to questions. When I think this, it's like, in every aspect of my life, how I see myself, how I see this world, how I see sin, how I see my brothers and sisters in Christ, how I see those that are apart from Christ. Now, we could try to be real Christian-y here, and we could say, oh, Brother Jason, it's because of the transformative power of Jesus Christ within your life. And man, that is absolutely true. But that doesn't, and it can't truly represent what is going on inside of me. It brings me back to the question as I stand before God in prayer, or as I'm reading the Word and seeing all these great things that Jesus did, and in the book of Acts, all these establishment of this beautiful thing we call the church. And I can't help but to always ask, why me, God? Why me? Why have you allowed me to be a part of something that is so wonderful? I don't know. But please, Jesus, keep doing what you're doing. But I also have to acknowledge that all this wonderful stuff that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life, that being a born-again follower of Jesus, that having that restored relationship with the Father, I have to acknowledge that this is not something that is to be contained within myself. I can say, God, why me? I don't have the understanding, but God, it truly changes me. So, God, what is next? And then I ask the question, God, how can I contain this? What you have done in me, how can I contain that within myself? Because how God initiates change in my life and how he sustains that change, which continually draws me closer to Christ, that has to change my view about how I see other people, doesn't it? Why me, God? Why me? I don't know. But because of what you've done in me, I have to begin to see other people very differently. Back to Galatians 2:20, right? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now again, listen closely. If Christ loved me, and if Christ gave himself for me, and I now find my identity in Christ, then shouldn't I now live my life for others and give myself to them? Maybe I should. So that just maybe some will come to a point of decision to give it all over to Jesus. And so many of you in here do just that. But then in my mind, it's like a very slow ping pong game going back in my brain. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Because didn't we just read that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them? So where does that place me? But maybe, just maybe, it is in the Father's will, and in the Father's will, and in the Father's plan, that he is actually choosing me to play a part here, to play a part in his great mystery. Me? Seriously, God? You know all the things that I've done, that I've thought, that I'm doing, that I'm thinking, so Why me? Because the Father wishes that none shall perish. And then it dawned on me. It dawned on me. By using me, several things happen. Not only am I coming to a place of humility and surrender in my own life, I am publicly choosing to trust God every time I share my testimony about how Jesus changed my life. So personally, my faith is built in ways that only this can build. But there is so much more, because it also has the potential to help nudge others in the direction of Jesus. So why me? Well, maybe because multiple good things happen all at once by and through the divine nature of our loving and caring God. The tragic reality, unfortunately, here is that not all will come to Christ. I think many of us have experienced that with people around us. Which brings up the question, why not? It's another question that we cannot answer. But I cannot allow this to deter what God is asking me to do. And yet it only causes me to humbly ponder once again, why me? God, why me? Why am I not stuck in my sin? Why have I chosen to surrender to you? Why have I accepted you into my life? Why is my number one desire to follow you each and every day? Why have you given me a born-again eternal perspective in such a way where it completely changes everything that I once knew to everything that I now know? Why me? Why did you call me in such a way that I accepted that call? And you continue to pour into me. Why me? Why did the Holy Spirit become active in my life? And why did I respond in a way that I ran to the Holy Spirit while others around me chose separation and chose death? And ultimately, how does that affect my heart and my urgency toward others? If you're here today and you know what I'm talking about, if you have that deep heart connection with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just praise God that you have that. And in humility, it's okay to just revel. Man, why me can become a praise, right? It's a form of worship. God, out of everything that I've ever done, why was I the one that you pulled out of the ocean, that you allowed to walk on water? Why is it me that you have sown so much into? You're sitting here today and you're listening and you're wondering, how can I receive Jesus in such a powerful way? I would say, just like the song says, surrender. Surrender. There's so much that holds us back when our flesh tells us not to surrender. Remember John 10, it's all about the good shepherd and his sheep, how he takes care of those sheep, how he watches over those sheep, how he's the gatekeeper into the sheep pen. And he allows his sheep to come in, and they know his voice, and he checks them for injuries, and what do they need? Do they need food? Do they need water? He cares for us in such a way, but he stands at that gate, and he protects us from all those other things that wants to come against us. And we see those things, and it's, again, it's just wonderful picture of how God truly cares for us and his desire to care for each one of us, knowing that it is the Father who gives the Son those sheep. So why me? So if you're sitting here and you're wondering, how can I receive Jesus in such a powerful way? Please just open yourself up to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can be trusted. Trusted above anybody else. You may trust certain people in your life. The Holy Spirit is above all of them. So submit yourself and trust the Holy Spirit. And yet, there may be others that are in here this morning and they are burdened with thoughts of all these reasons why God could never fully love them or never fully accept them. We read the different verses and they, for some reason, through experiences and hard life and in different situations, they always go to the, oh, well, yes, God loves all of those. Those are God's sheep, but I feel like I'm on the outside of that. And that's just something that all of us has probably dealt with from some time or another. But I believe that God is opening the door to all of us this morning. Despite who we are, despite what we're doing, despite what you're doing right now, despite what you're going through, if you're in the mode of, why me, God, why me? God, why have you allowed these things to happen to me? Instead of asking those questions, trust the Savior. Trust the Savior. Trust what the Savior is doing in your life. The door is open. The door is open to the sheep pen. He's gathering his flock. Will you choose to walk through that door? The Father calls, but the sheep have to respond so the sheep can be given to the good shepherd. You know, if you're in that situation and you're wondering and you just can't quite get over past situations, or hurts or failures or sins or anything like that, I'm going to invite you in just a minute to come and talk to me about it. Let's talk. Let's pray. Let's get the mind part of this in a right position where it can submit itself to the Spirit that is inside of you, that is involved and is being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to celebrate today. We're going to celebrate by taking communion. And we want to take this communion in that humble sacrifice. Not the entitled, oh, well, I go to this church or I'm at this church and it's just something that we do. That's not what we're doing today. We're humbly submitting to Christ in all aspects of our life and we're appreciating this great mystery that has called us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't have the answers as to why some come to Christ and why some continually refuse his invitation. And maybe I just shouldn't necessarily concern myself so much with that. I should concern myself with living for Jesus in my own life and speaking the truth in love to those that are around me so that they can truly see the effect that Jesus has had in my life. That's my job. My job isn't the one to say, this one will come and this one won't. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I don't have that job. My job is just to live a life that is glorifying to God. Worship team, if you guys want to come up. So we treat communion with respect, right? We treat communion with reverence. Treat communion with this idea and understanding that though it is just bread and though it is just juice, the symbolism and the act of taking this communion with humility, that's where it's at. So this morning, If you're newer to our church, if you're just visiting here today, I want you to know that we serve in what we call an open communion, really a biblically based idea of communion, meaning that you don't have to be a regular attender here at Bridge, you don't have to be a member here, you don't have to have gone through any classes here, we don't have any of those requirements, you don't have to align with any certain denomination. Rather, in the biblical manner of communion, we ask that you have that born-again relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the requirement to have communion. And then we know that Paul also teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he teaches a lot on communion because communion was being taken in unworthy manners. Right? Some of the poor people were being left out and the rich people were making it more of a buffet and a cell, like a personal get-together kind of, hey, let's hang out and do this thing called communion. That wasn't the biblical process. That wasn't getting close to God. That wasn't humility within that. But we also read that we are warned not to take communion in an unworthy way if we have unrepentant sins in our life, if we're living in sin, or there's things that the Holy Spirit are bringing to effect, even right now, saying, you need to get right with God right now. Please get right with God before we come together and take this communion. And how does that look? What process? That's just get before God. You've got something to repent of, something to confess to God. Confess those things to God. Repent of those things before we come together. And something so important as celebrating communion. If you're sitting here and you're like, boy, you're talking about all this relationship stuff with Jesus, and I've never really experienced that to the effect that I would like to, grab me. I'm going to be right there on that corner. If you need to come up and we need to talk and pray and all of those things. But this is a time of celebration, right? This is a time of coming together in a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So how this is going to look, we're going to go back up into worship. You guys linger in your seats at the altar as long as you need to be in a right relationship with Jesus, in order that we can receive this communion in an appropriate way. And then when you're ready, just come up and grab your bread, grab your juice, hold them, take them back to your seat, or pray with one another, get in groups, whichever you want to do. And then we'll come back together and we'll take communion as one body, the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful thing. So get intimate with God right now. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking. Did somebody grab the kids by chance? I always forget that part. We take community with our families, so we always want the kids to be in here. It teaches them, it models to them. But maybe we're in a place where we need to be taught and to be modeled. Take this time. Don't let it get away from you. Don't just do communion because it's something that we're doing and everybody else is doing it, so you think you have to. If today's not the day to take communion, it's okay. But still draw near to God. Amen? Let's worship. What an incredibly powerful song that is. I've always just thought this song is so amazing. It talks about the blessing of God, and then once again it's like, why me? Why my family? Right? How do we reconcile that? And it comes back to these choices that are placed upon each one of us, right? Everyone has the opportunity to surrender and to follow Christ, but not everybody grabs hold of that opportunity. How can we be in a position to help affect that choice in a positive manner? Have you ever thought about that? No, the Bible is clear on what we are to be doing. We're to be making disciples, right? Disciples are followers of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we can't do that until we are ourselves a disciple of Christ. And we can't be a disciple of Christ until we are called and we follow that call in our life. How exciting is this thing that we call Christianity? It's amazing that we partner with God in such a way to have an influence upon this fallen world. And then we get to come together in times like this, on Sunday mornings with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we identify ourselves with Christ through the celebration and partaking of this thing that we call communion. And when it comes to communion, we have the two elements, right? We have the bread and we have the juice and the bread. It's all about the sacrifice of Jesus, how he was beaten and betrayed and how he died for each one of us. So it's the sacrifice that we remember. Don't ever forget the sacrifice of the Father and the sacrifice of the Son. And then we also have the juice, and the juice very much represents the relationship that we have with Jesus, right? It's the new covenant relationship. We have a relationship with the Son that brings us into a relationship with the Father. And a relationship is active. A relationship is an everyday type of thing. You don't have a knowledge of Jesus, you have a relationship with Jesus, and that's what we are to strive for. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, again, he was having to teach the believers in the Corinthian church. He had to reteach them. He had to speak the truth. He had to call them back into that proper relationship. And within his teachings, Paul says this. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Do this in the remembrance of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus performed. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." It's the relationship covenant based within his blood. "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we do these things with the expectation in our relationship that Jesus is coming back for his church. How exciting. So there's the sacrifice, there's the relationship, there's the remembering, and there's the looking forward. And we need to be doing that every day within the context of getting before God and saying, "God, why me? I don't know why, but thank you so much of who you are in my life right now." So everybody, take your bread, and we can hold it up if you want. But we're going to pray, "Father, we do this in remembrance of what Jesus did, of how he was broken, how he was beaten, how he was crucified upon that cross, and how it was by his blood that our sins are forgiven. But Lord God, the blood came after the point of the submission. So Lord God, let each one of us be submissive to you. Break us in those ways that we need to be broken as we live a life in remembrance of you." Go ahead and take your bread. And now we look to this symbol, this juice, wine, whatever it represents, the new covenant, right? The new covenant was established by the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you, the new covenant changes everything. And one of the greatest things that the new covenant did, besides restoring the relationship with the Father, is that he opened up this ability to choose Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior to all people. All people. No longer was it just a Jewish religion. It was a world's redemption. And we celebrate the new covenant until he comes back. We live in this church age, active, sharing our testimonies, living our life with power and authority through the Holy Spirit, being able to speak truth into situations, influencing people to come closer to Jesus, all the while saying, God, why me? I don't know, but why me? It's such a glorious question. So, Father, we thank you for the new covenant. Jesus, we thank you for what you established forevermore. And we pray that your church continue to grow as more and more people make the choice to give their life to you. Jesus, we love you, and we love everything that you are doing in our lives. Go ahead and take pictures. Now, Father, be glorified in this time of worship. Be glorified in this next coming week and the opportunities that you're going to put in our life to share our testimony, to declare in such a way that it's not only me, but it can also be you. Jesus, we love you, and we lift your name up and pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone shout it out. Amen.